prayer, ask continued your prayers as we start our study tonight. As you can tell from the title, we're going to be looking at Proverbs. What's the word proverb mean? Anybody ever bothered to look that up? It's one of those words that we kind of know what it means, don't we? Simply stated, it means similar or comparisons. And I guess when I think about Proverbs, the very first comparison that comes to mind is the wise against the foolish. It's all through the book, isn't it? So it's a short saying. I didn't put this in the notes, but it's similar to parable, except proverb is the very short statement to get the point across, but the parable is a lesson that's explained. But the same idea is involved, to give something that would teach a lesson. So the proverb is short, the parable is long, but it's sometimes the words used interchangeably in Scripture. So while all of the words of God teach us wisdom and give us understanding of God's will, and I gave you three references here, Proverbs is a collection of principles of truth and contrasts to help our understanding of God's will and how to apply it to life. And to me, that is the greatest lesson to be gained from the book of Proverbs. The living of life in a way that would please the Lord. So I gave you those three references about teaching us wisdom and giving us understanding of God's will. I'm going to read the first one at least, Deuteronomy 4. I know it's not Proverbs, but it does state what we're talking about tonight. Listen to the first six verses of Deuteronomy 4. Now, this is Old Testament, isn't it? Moses speaking to that other... Deuteronomy means the second reading of the law. So this, they've wandered in the wilderness. A new generation has come along that will come in to inherit the land, because the curse upon them for their unbelief when they got to Kadesh Barnea was that all of those 20 years old and upward, their carcasses would fall in the wilderness. Because God had delivered them so mightily, He didn't bring them out just to leave them to their own power when it came to taking the land of Canaan. But they said, "We're not able to take it." They provoked the Lord. And so they had to wander for 40 years. Well, those children that grew and others that were born would then inherit the land of Canaan. And so Deuteronomy is written to that new generation. Listen to what it says. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed after Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." a wise and understanding people. Why? Because of the Word of God. Now, did they measure up to that? Doesn't seem like it, does it? Now, I'm satisfied. There were many wonderful, devout people among the children of Israel. But the point is, they could have been a wise and understanding people if they had taken heed to the Word of God. A wise and understanding people. That's what Proverbs is all about. That we might be a wise and understanding people. All right? Matthew 24:35 simply says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." And then 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In other words, the Word of God is sufficient to teach us what we need to know to do all good works. A wise and understanding people is what we want to be, isn't it? All right. Now, while Greek wisdom involves speculation on the origins and principles of the universe, Hebrew wisdom was interpreted in the revealed will of God, His Word, an observable order which God placed in His universe. You know, we can look at nature, and we can see the order of nature. It's not chaos. There's tremendous order that God has put in His creation. He set it in motion, and it continues by His power. Man can't do that. Man can create a lot of chaos. But bless your hearts, God is a God of order. And so, when He has told us in His Word what He has done, and we can observe these things in the world, then we praise our God who made it all and rejoice in His almighty power. Thus we see God's will defined in terms of what He says should be and what He says will be a blessing, in contrast to what we see around us, which reflects man's opinion and man's will being followed. In other words, true wisdom is according to "Thus saith the Lord." That's what matters, isn't it? I know I've shared with you several times, we had a favorite aunt. The reason she was our favorite, I think, is because she was always picking at my daddy. And getting next to him, you know. And she was about the only person around that would do that. And we thought it was kind of funny. Anyway, she would say something sometimes, and my daddy would say, "Well, the Bible says." And he'd explain what it said. And she'd listen to that for a while, but then after a while she'd say, "Oh, Chester, why do you have to always bring up the Bible?" Because that's what he measured everything against. That's what we ought to measure everything against. The Word of God. That's what it needs to line up with. Now, we can have our humor, and we can have our light times, but what I'm saying is, truth and things that you base decisions upon needs to line up with "Thus saith the Lord." That's where you'll find true happiness in this life. This old flesh will try to follow the ways of man and find fun in a lot of things that'll end up being a lot of sorrows and regrets. But true joy and lasting joy is found in the will of God. Solomon lived 500 years before the seven wise men of Greece. I saw that several times in different places. I'm not sure exactly who those men were, but the commentators seem to think that they were a recognized group of people in that era. But there's some other names that you might recognize. Solomon lived 700 years before Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle. They're thought to be some wise men in this world, aren't they? And they were in their own right. But Solomon lived 700 years before any of them. Do you suppose if they were really, truly wise men, that some of the things that God blessed Solomon to give us in the Proverbs had any influence upon them? Very possible, isn't it? Very possible. Okay. While the book begins with the Proverbs of Solomon, by the way, you're getting the idea here. This is an introduction to Proverbs tonight. We'll get to a few verses. But there's some things I've been questioned on over the years, and so I thought we'd address some of these things. The book begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. And if anybody were to ask you who wrote the book of Solomon, the book of Proverbs, you would rightly say Solomon. But what about over there in chapter 30 and chapter 31? Well, it's similar to the book of Psalms. You know, Moses wrote some of the Psalms. But we commonly ascribe the Psalms to David. Okay? That's very possible that some of Moses' Psalms were some of David's favorites. You know, maybe that's why they were included. And so what we said about this, there are others mentioned and whose words were included in this book. 1 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." That's a lot, isn't it? Right? Egypt had some impressive advancements. "For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, I don't know if we have all of them. I encountered some other books that were mentioned that some of his writings were in Jewish history and antiquity and so forth. But, well, let me continue. We know also from 1 Kings 12 and 6 that there were wise men who stood before Solomon in his realm. Very little is known of Agur, who's mentioned as the words for the words in chapter 30, and King Lemuel, chapter 31. However, if it's godly wisdom, it matters not who spoke the words as much as whose wisdom is spoken. See, the Holy Spirit inspired it all, didn't it? Okay, it's God's wisdom. But predominantly in the Proverbs, we find them ascribed to Solomon. So, and while the Proverbs does not have all 3,000 of the Proverbs of Solomon, we can rest assured that God gave us what we need. Right? Are we confident in that? By the way, I didn't count all the Proverbs that we do have in the book of Proverbs. But I can tell you this, 3,000 are not there. The biggest chapter in Proverbs has 36 verses. If all 3,000 was contained in those first 29 chapters, there had to be at least 100, an average of 100 verses in each chapter. So I did the math, and I'm confident they're not all here. But, like we said, God gave us what we need. And I'm confident of that, because the New Testament says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, which means God has given us sufficient words to teach us how to do everything that we need to do in service to Him. Now, we can be confident of that, can't we? All right. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, this is one of the records of where the Lord spoke to Solomon. Tremendous sacrifices had just been made, and in the night vision, God speaks to Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we find how Solomon came to possess this knowledge and wisdom. It says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." I always have to wonder, if the Lord would ask us, what would we want Him to give us? What would we ask for? I think you ought to do that every few months. Ask yourself that question. I think it would be a good spiritual barometer, don't you? To find out where our heart is. Lord, if the Lord were to come to us and say, "What shall I give you?" What would you say? I remember, you know, when I was coming along in school, our teachers began the day reading some Bible. I know it. It's hard to believe now, isn't it? But some of you had the same experience. I'm talking public school now. And I can remember in the third grade, that teacher read about this. I remember feeling so impressed at Solomon for asking what he did. That night God had appeared, saying, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude." Millions of people. "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Did you hear what he said? "Give me wisdom and an understanding heart. Give me wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom and knowledge. To know how to go in and out. That's the kind of wisdom Solomon asked for. To know how to deal with people. To know how to go in and out among them. There's plenty of wisdom in other things, but this was the kind of wisdom for which Solomon asked. Okay? "And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, and such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture here to put on these notes, but I wanted you to see that. God gave this wisdom and knowledge to Solomon. He wasn't just born with it. It wasn't because his parents were so super smart that he was super smart. I know genetics have a lot of impact, but God gave this wisdom and knowledge. He granted it. Now, do you suppose that God would also give us wisdom today if we were to ask for it? Do you remember when we studied James? Chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, do any of us lack wisdom? I have to raise both hands on that one. I lack a lot of wisdom. Well, he says, ask for it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will never chide you for coming to him and asking of him for wisdom. Remember that. We can go to him for the wisdom we need. All right. So would he give it? Yes, he's promised to do so. So as we embark on studying the Proverbs, may it be with the attitude that we surely need wisdom from God each day in making the decisions that will please our Lord. Not to please ourselves. Remember when Jesus was in such agony praying, he still said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So, since he's promised to give wisdom to those who ask, may we be asking for a wise and understanding heart to know his will and to follow it. Now, verse 1. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Who would have thought that a child born of Bathsheba would be this special recipient of such wisdom? Now, I'm not saying she was such a bad person. I'm just saying, with all the circumstances involved surrounding how she came to be David's wife, I mean, this blessing upon Solomon is a great testimony to God's amazing grace. Isn't it? I mean, who would have thought? I'm sorry, I wouldn't have thought it. You know? He didn't ask me how to do this. And so I'm just amazed at times at how God works his miracles, how God provides his grace, how long-suffering and how merciful and loving he is. He chose Solomon. Gave him such wisdom as this. As the book begins, it explains why we need to know these proverbs. Say, so this is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. You know, some people are just not very teachable. Some people, well, I'll say it. Some people think they know it all. But there's some folks that's just not very teachable. to be a disciple of Jesus, we're to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. So, another definition of a disciple is a disciplined learner. The Proverbs help us to know wisdom and instruction. With all the counselors of this world, we need to be grounded in what we know is good counsel. Everybody has an opinion. If you ask somebody something, they'll tell you. But not all counsel is good counsel, right? So we need to be grounded in what we know is good counsel. There are many who will invite us to go with them and do what they're doing, but we need to know what God says about that. Will it be okay? Will it lead us away from him and into trouble? This is available to all who sincerely seek to do God's will. You know why we can say that? That it's available to all who sincerely seek to do God's will is because he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's an evidence of spiritual life. It's an evidence of the Spirit in the heart. But he doesn't make us do these things. He doesn't open up our head and pour it in. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Which means if we love him, we'll want to know how we can keep his. How do we please him? How? What is it that's pleasing to the Lord? He's told us in his word. And Proverbs says an awful lot about that. So to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Do you want to be a wise and understanding person, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to know his words. We need to study his book. He's revealed his will to us, so we need to apply ourselves to know it. They're there, but do you grasp their meaning? That's the challenge, isn't it? Over the years, I've had folks tell me, "Oh, preacher, I just don't read the Bible because I don't understand it." Well, you know my response to that, don't you? Keep reading. God promises those that diligently seek him, he'll reward them. And the reward is finding him, which means finding understanding of what we're seeking. All right? So, reading the word, having an understanding, trying to grasp the meaning. As we live our lives, we will encounter the principles taught. So, we need to be familiar with these, the Proverbs, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding them. Once you see it, you'll be amazed at how often in life you'll be reminded of these truths and how often they can make life so much better. So much better. It amazes me when I can just observe things happening in the world and verses of Scripture come to mind. And it's just manifesting God's truth. And the more of it that you have treasured up, the more of it you see. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing. Verse 3. I'm about to skip one. So after he says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, verse 3 he says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So, he began by saying to know wisdom and instruction, then to perceive the words of understanding, and then to receive the instruction of certain principles. So if we're going to gain this knowledge, he's telling us here, the Proverbs here will teach us certain subjects. Wisdom. The instruction of wisdom. Justice. Isn't it satisfying when we see justice being served? The witness within us rejoices. God's Spirit within us rejoices when we see that. But so often, we see the other, injustice. Now, we can rest in the fact that God's going to take care of that. But we live in a fallen world. We have our dealings with fallen creatures. There's a lot of evil in the world. And we're going to see a lot of injustice. We're going to see a lot of bad judgment. We're going to see a lot of inequity, things that are not fair. We're going to see that. But if we will study God's Word, and here's the point of, part of the point of Proverbs, to teach us how that we can live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, how that we can walk according to good judgment, and how that we can be fair and equitable to others, so that we're not part of the problem. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If all of God's people were doing what they should and following God's word and honoring the Lord and doing that which is right and just and equitable to others, at least we wouldn't be part of the problem. That's our job as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us the instructions we need to try to follow that. There's so many things, big and small, in life for which we need to be wise, fair, and know how to do what's right in dealing with people. You know, there's some people that just rather would not, they would rather not have to deal with people. And I'm sure you've all been in situations where you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we'd just like to be a hermit. But knowing God's word and knowing the teachings that he gives us in Proverbs will help us in dealing with others. All right? So we want our decisions and judgment to be godly, and for the lasting results to be fair to all involved, right? I mean, how does it make you feel when you realize you've gotten the short end of the stick? You don't enjoy that, do you? Well, there may not be anything you can do about it. There might be, but there may not be anything you can do about it. But one thing you can do is you can try to be fair with others so that you're not causing that same grief in somebody else's life. So we want it to be fair to all involved. This is what is pleasing to the Lord. Look at Proverbs 11:20. I just threw one in here. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. We want to be walking in a way that's delightful to the Lord. And this word teaches us what to do, that we might walk in a way that's a delight to the Lord. Now, I understand we've got this old conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And so we have to work at it, don't we? But as far as helping us in our dealings with others, he's given us his word, and we need to be reading it every day. I don't know that I put it in the notes at all, but there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And I've mentioned this before, and I suspect some of you already have this habit. But if all you do is read one proverb a day, then every month, except February, and you might have to read a couple extras in February, but every month you will have read the book of Proverbs. And after you do that a number of years, you start seeing more. Well, it won't take years, but I'm just saying, the longer you do that, month after month, going through the book over and over, it gets more and more familiar, doesn't it? More and more familiar. And you start putting things together more so than you did before. It's a wonderful habit to get into, whether you do one or more, but regular reading of Proverbs, and then ask the Lord to bless that reading. So, knowing how to treat others and doing it in a fair and equitable way is pleasing to the Lord and will result in it being a blessing to us. If it pleases the Lord, it's going to come back to be a blessing to us. Right? Verse 4. Here's more reasons to give subtlety to the simple. Who's that? Well, for one who lacks understanding. All of us, in some respect, lack some understanding. And so we need to be teachable, don't we? We need to be a good disciple. We need to be reading and studying, all right? So for one who lacks understanding, it will sharpen their mind. You know, we use that expression, don't we? Somebody that has a sharp mind or sharp as a tack or whatever. That's the opposite of this one that's spoken of as simple. Okay? So to give subtlety to the simple. For one who lacks understanding, it will sharpen their mind, making them more informed to discern more keenly. That's the subtlety that he's talking about. Being able to be better discerners, better understanding of things. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. By the way, that man is generic, so it's men and women. Okay, but it's the way the scriptures speak generically. All right, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The young means undeveloped in understanding, okay, which generally accompanies those of a young age. These truths will help him or her understand how to be discreet in his dealings with others. This is the kind of wisdom for which Solomon asked. Understanding that he may know how to go in and out among this great people. He felt the weight of that. Well, we may not be ruling over a great number of people, but we still need this wisdom, don't we? We need this knowledge. We need this understanding. And so the Proverbs teach us how that this part of that is we can gain from the reading of the Proverbs. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise man will hear. Take note. Consider. Not just hear the sound, but pause and consider the matter. A wise man will do that. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Don't you want to attain to wise counsels? I sure do. I haven't gotten there, but I need to. We all do. Okay? So, a wise man will consider and add knowledge to his store of information. Wisdom, so knowledge adds to your store of information. But wisdom is the correct usage of that knowledge. Okay? Without wisdom, knowledge can be harmful. Right? And someone is tremendously intelligent, but they don't have any wisdom, that can be dangerous, can't it? Or harmful, anyway. They're not using it in the correct way. However, a wise man will know that he still has much to learn and that he needs to use what he's learned in a way that pleases God and helps others. That's what we need to fulfill our calling, to please the Lord and to help one another. And then verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So he started out by saying to know wisdom and instruction. And he kind of sums it up here in verse 6, to understand a proverb. And the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. These proverbs, and again, the meaning is similar or comparison. Many times there'll be two verses or maybe sometimes three verses. It'll make that contrast between two sides of the matter. These proverbs are referred to as dark sayings. We will need to be enlightened to understand them, right? And from where must that light come? God's Spirit. With the Spirit in us, then His words can begin to mean something to us. Without the Spirit of God in us, we don't discern any of that, right? 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. All right, so the Spirit is the beginning of our understanding of spiritual things. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now we just mentioned who the simple were, those that were undeveloped in their understanding. And so those who want to grow in their understanding, God has given us His Word. And we have these proverbs. And they're spoken of as dark sayings, which means it's going to require some light. All right, but we early on in our lesson tonight, we talked about how that those that diligently seek Him, God has promised to reward them. But it'll take the illumination of the Holy Spirit. As we read and ask Him for wisdom, then He'll help us with understanding. All right? May God bless us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of His truth, that we may honor Him more, to know how to live before Him in more holiness, and that we may know how to deal more wisely and fairly with each other. Now, these few verses give us the introduction to what Proverbs is all about. Beginning in verse 7, we'll start looking at principles. Now, you're familiar with the Proverbs. And so you know that there's a multitude of subjects in each chapter. So what we're going to try to do is approach this by topic. And I don't know if we'll get them all. You know, when you say a topic, you can search one word, but there may be several English words that represent one emotion or one thing. So I don't know, you know. We're just going to be praying that the Lord will lead us and guide us, and and try to go after this. And I know that there's lists available by topic for the Proverbs, so a lot of folks have already done a lot of legwork as far as grouping these verses together, but I don't know if we can trust that or not. So I've got to, you know, go through some of that and look at it. I'm not, and I guess I'll have to keep track of these verses as we go through them to see that we've covered everything when we get through all of that. So it's been on my heart for a while, but it's kind of hard to get your arms around it, you know. So I need your prayers. Always need your prayers, but especially in this endeavor. I just feel like that's a good way to approach this. Otherwise, we're going to be saying the same thing many times, which might not be a bad thing to do. I mean, the Lord in His wisdom gave it to us in that way, and maybe that's the best way to approach it. But we're going to start out topically and follow the Spirit. And if it seems like we need to go back and go verse by verse, that's what we'll do. All right? If the Spirit so leads. But I need your prayers. And I'm looking forward to this. So, any questions or comments on what we talked about tonight? Okay. All right. Well, maybe I should start each lesson and ask if anybody has any questions about last week. We'll see. But if you do have questions pertinent to what we're talking about, feel free to ask. Someone have a number to close with?